We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to 95.7 The Game. Alongside Dan Dibley, I'm Joe Fortenbaugh. Thank you for joining us this morning. We've got $1,000 to give away in just a few moments. $1,000 to give away at 8 a.m. and tickets to tonight's Bay Bridge Series, Game 2, Giants at A's. We're going to give those away at 7:20 and at 8:20. With Lorenzo Neal in Napa, covering Raider training camp alongside Bonte Hill and Greg Papa, we go to the bench. Special treat today, the one, the only, Brad Gilbert joining us in studio. BG, how are you?
I'm good, buddy, and yourself, and we're just listening on the change over here. Dibs is on fire on Marin knowledge, man. The guy is just piped in.
I love the changeover.
If he throws any Marin athlete at you who went pro, you're able to name the school right away.
Pretty good.
You're 4-for-4 with no hesitation so far.
And Jesse Foppert, I'm real proud of, Santa Fe High School. He was there when I was coaching my famous 0-26 girls basketball team, but that's a story for another day.
0-26.
They were 0-9, Joe, and the coach quit. So the varsity coach comes to me and says, "Can you help me out? The coach walked off. I need you to coach his JV girls team." I say, "Sure." First day of practice, not a girl can do a thing. Zero skills in the gym. We went on to lose 17 more in a row, 0-26, but only 17 of those are on my record, Brad.
That's dramatic. Hey, I've lived in San Rafael since the start of 1990, and I promise you, they have nothing on the legendary teams that were over at Northwestern.
Oh, yeah.
San Rafael, I'm going to say, I would always hear these legendary stories that in the 70s, we were good in this, they were good in that. They actually ended in tennis this year. They beat Redwood High School. I've never heard of something like this. Hadn't beaten Redwood High School in tennis, I believe, since 1976.
Sounds right.
Reasonable.
And they beat them finally this year. It was like 40-something year. I mean, San Rafael, I think, in the last 5 to 10 years, maybe won 5 games. Mm. I mean, a good season for them is like 1-8, 1-9.
I would like to, based on this 0-26 team Dibs coached after they went, what, 0-9?
0-9, yeah.
I'd like to retract previous statements. I now believe in momentum. I very much believe in momentum.
What happened your second year? Did you get a win?
I hung him up.
He's like, that's it for me.
That's it. Oh. I was good.
All right. We've got the 4K a day cash contest right now. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word DESK to 72881. Message and data rates apply. DESK, D-E-S-K, to 72881. Message and data rates do apply. Now,
no Dibs question? I figured there'd be something to answer for the $1,000.
We will have a question for the Bay Bridge Series tickets at 7:20.
Okay.
We'll do it at 7:20.
We've got to do some Dibs knowledge here.
The cash contest is simply what the management tells me to do. I literally have to read it from this paper.
Well, that's important.
Or they're going to have me coaching an 0-26 women's volleyball team up in Marin. All right. So, Sonny's gone. A's fans, phones are open. You want to talk about the direction of the club? You're up. This is your opportunity. 888-957-9570. Giants fans, surprised that the team didn't make any moves yesterday. Bobby Evans is going to join us at 9:30, but for right now, Dibs with your update.
And your top story is the Sonny Gray trade. Joe, he is in pinstripes. The long dreaded day came to pass yesterday. Oakland getting 3 prospects in return. The speedy Jorge Mateo, James Caprelli, and the pitcher who had Tommy John surgery, and outfielder Dustin Fowler, who ruptured his patella tendon in the first inning of his major league career as a Yankee. The team also trading Adam Rosales to Arizona for a single-A pitcher, Jefferson Mejia. Story number 2 is what took place on the diamond with the A's getting over in Game 1 of the Bay Bridge Series.
And Contos from the stretch, and now the 1-1 pitch, here it is. And Marcus hits a deep drive into center. Span going back. Span at the track, right to the wall. He will watch a grand slam to center field by Marcus Semien.
Ken Korak, the call here on 95.7 The Game. A's win 8-5. Game 2 of the Bay Bridge Series is tonight from the Coliseum. 6:15, your dugout show here on 95.7 The Game. Story number 3, great news for the Raiders, is Gerrion Conley will not be charged by the Ohio grand jury. He is on the physically unable to perform list with shin splints, and the team still awaiting the arrival of Donald Penn, who wants a new contract despite being under contract. The update brought to you by Bank of the West. With any deposit checking from Bank of the West, make any deposit per statement period and they'll waive your monthly service charge. Bank of the West, the bank for a changing world. I'm Dan Dibley on your home of the NBA champion Golden State Warriors. It's 95.7 The Game.
So you heard the news from Dibs. You also, no doubt, were following it yesterday. The Sonny Gray era in Oakland has come to its conclusion. Sonny Gray and $1.5 million in international bonus money are headed from the Bay to the Big Apple. In return, the A's will welcome in Dustin Fowler, 22-year-old outfielder. He was drafted in the 18th round of the 2013 draft. Some of you may remember him from his MLB debut on June 30th. It's the only game he's ever played in the bigs. He was chasing a foul ball down the right field line. He slid into the right field fence, and he tore the patellar tendon in his right knee as a result. Prior to that, he was hitting .293 in the minors before getting called up. Should be healthy and ready to go next season, but again, that's a major knee injury.
Wait, hold a second. Be ready for, you think he's ready for March of 2018 when they go to camp?
I was just talking 2018 in general. You may see him in an A's uniform at some point during the season. In terms of March, that's very early to be back. As per training camp, probably just going through some drills, I don't think you're going to be seeing him play all that much.
Well, this is one of the injuries I think that Kalena Azubuike had in his career, the ruptured patella tendon, which is a ferocious injury, Brad.
I'm going to say that's 12.
I was going to say 9 to 12, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough injury, and it's not like you can operate right away when you do it, because a lot of times they got to wait for the swelling and everything. Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's back before.
He did have surgery right after. Actually, the White Sox surgeon did the surgery on him almost immediately, so that's at least one piece of good news as we go deep inside the medical
community. I'm sorry, I didn't realize this was a medical conference at Harvard University. I got two guys looking at me. Oh, yeah, it's 12 to 14, Joe. It's 12 to 14. Okay, so moving along, we'll diagnose James Kaprielian next. He's a 23-year-old right-handed pitcher who had Tommy John surgery in April. 6'4", 200 pounds, first-round pick out of UCLA in 2015. Big-time fastball. He's got a four-pitch mix, fastball, curve, slider, changeup, and was expected, prior to the surgery, to make his debut with the Yankees this year. They like him that much. But again, Tommy John surgery.
When was the Tommy John surgery?
April.
And that is at least 12 months, right? That's longer sometimes.
You're the surgeon.
No. I'm going to say that's...
I mean, you're going to give me the Fowler breakdown, but now you're worried about Kaprielian?
No, that's normally like, what, 12 to 18 months?
I think 12 to 15 even. You can come back well within a year and a half these days, especially when you're young and you get that first Tommy John out of the way.
Get that first one out of the way. Okay, so now you're looking at two guys.
Nothing. It's a burger at the drive-thru these days.
Yep.
So that's potentially two guys that might not really be able to help you in 2018.
I wouldn't expect major contributions from either in 2018. And then there's Jorge Mateo, the 22-year-old outfielder. He was an international sign out of the Dominican Republic in 2012. Interesting journey with the Yanks. At one point, he was considered their best prospect. Then he went through some struggles. Then the organization suspended him when he started running his mouth to executives about not being promoted. Entering the season, Baseball America had him as the 85th best prospect in Major League Baseball. Baseball Prospectus entering the season had him as the 43rd best prospect. Kid can move. 39 steals this season between high A ball in Tampa and double A ball in Trenton. We open the phones, 888-957-9570. Sonny is gone. You heard about the return on the investment. How do you feel about the A's moving forward? We begin with Rob in San Jose. Rob in San Jose, good morning. The floor is yours.
Hey, guys, thanks so much for taking my call. Hey, I really like the deal right now. I like the team right now. I see, you know, Billy Beane's a genius again. I mean, you don't get rid of Alonso. What are you going to do with Simeon? He's a good power hitter, but he's still kind of shaky. Can you imagine the whole team's dynamic, trying to bring up a bunch of young players and competence if your 6-3 play is shaky? Simeon's been saved by Alonso all this time, and Alonso's a beast. I would sign I would sign Alonzo. I'd keep Chris Davis. But, you know, A's fans got to wake up to the fact they need to sponsor this team because, you know, they want a free roll. You don't. You got some food trucks. You don't have a puke bucket like, you know, of a situation. You can tailgate there. You got Lyft. You got BART. Just get to the game. Start throwing some money. I don't want to hear any more excuses about not supporting Lou Wolf or John Fisher. You got to give these guys some cash flow to work with in order to keep some players. You want to keep players? Start showing up. Start sponsoring your team. Start buying some season tickets no matter where they play.
Appreciate the phone call, Rob. Thank you very much.
Very passionate, but Fisher has a lot more money than they do with the Giants. He can do something about it. He doesn't need taxpayer money. I think that a huge thing for this team moving forward, we've been talking about this forever. The A's are going to be the only tenant potentially in Oakland. Raiders are going to be gone. Warriors across the bay. Show people before the end of the year where the shovel is going to go. And I think that will change the dimension of this team going forward.
Then they will. And I think Dave Cavill has said that they're going to release the stadium site at the end of the year. I don't know if he means the baseball season or the calendar year. I know that there is some slight difference of opinion between the preferred site. The A's, I think, have their eye on the Laney College site, which would involve...
No, I don't like that.
Brad, I don't care what you like for me laying out the options.
Okay.
Mayor Libby Schaaf.
It's no good.
Libby Schaaf prefers the Howard Terminal site because she wants to connect the downtown to Jack London Square. So right now.
Smart move.
But to your point about, I just want to know where it's going to be, I don't think the two parties have the same idea yet of where it should be, which is obviously an important first step.
Why wouldn't you want to build a stadium that has a view of San Francisco?
I think there's some concern. Not major concern when it comes to something like this, but the wind. It'd be in the same corridor as where Candlestick was, and you don't want to create a ballpark that knocks down all the home runs. You really want to make it fan-friendly. You see what happens at Petco. Petco's a great park, but no one mashes at Petco. That opened the same year as Philadelphia's Citizens Bank Park, and Citizens Bank, they can mash. That's what people want in this day and age. They want home runs. Look at Giant Baseball. That's a beautiful park, and people are always going to go down there to hang out. But those are some boring baseball games. They really are.
It's a tough watch these days. It's tough. And to your point about it being downtown and, you know, you put maybe a BART station in there and you improve it, the big question is you don't know what's underground there as you start to dig out how much chemical activity has been going on under the ground there at Howard Terminal. That's a big thing.
You don't worry about that. Yeah, you're talking about opening up under the hood. But potentially...
Dude, stick to surgery.
But for the city of Oakland, Jack London Square, you know, there's potential... For people to open up their pocket and spend money. That, you know, when you leave the Coliseum, you have to leave to go somewhere. So I do think Jack London Square is a great spot, potentially, if they can get it done. So fine, we got to have pitching and defense.
Well, the thing, here's what you're going to do. So Sonny's gone, and everyone's upset because it follows a pattern that's been taking place the last few years. Well, there's a new pattern that's about to emerge. And when you get the new stadium and you build this team to where it's going to be with all these prospects, I'll tell you the first two up for deals. You want to know who they are? Sean Manaea and Matt Chapman. Chapman's going to eventually, I know he's only hitting like 200 right now, but he's got some power. He's only played 28 games in the majors. Just give him some time. That dude's glove at third base, he is already in contention for a gold glove. Not going to get it this year.
I'll drop and
he's
give you.
He's got the leather.
I'll drop and
he's
give you.
He's going to be a guy you pay, and Sean Manaea is going to be your ace moving forward.
You know what? Then I'll drop and give you 20 right now.
What is this, the Marines?
Yeah. You know what? Show me that you sign these kids to a four-year deal now.
No, there's no need to do it now.
I know, but that, like, show the A's fans. That's like, show the A's fans that you mean business.
That's going to happen with the stadium. I see where you're coming from. You're making valid points. That's going to come from the stadium at the end.
So, like, in 2 years, if we don't have shovel in the ground and these kids are good, what are you thinking? When are we going to get rid of these kids?
I'll put it like this. It's going to be a serious problem for the organization if they don't announce a new stadium site by the end of the year. Cavill's been saying that for months. That's what everyone's looking towards. That's how you're able to deal with the Sonny Gray departure.
So if we don't announce it.
That's how you're
it,
able to deal with the losing. If you get to December and the A's are like, look, we know we told you this. There are some things in the works. We'll get back to you. At that point, forget about it. You
got
to live up to your word there. You've got to have a site. You've got to be able to deliver something to the fan base.
Thank God they got rid of that shill, Lou Wolf. What a tool. Jesus.
Running hot takes.
If I had to see that guy one more time, I was just going to... Somebody needed to body slam him.
You just didn't like the way he did business? Zero. Well, it's radio. You got to be able to say something. No one can see that.
It's not Wimbledon, Gilbert.
Negative zero. Get rid of
that.
Do
I look like Mary Jo Fernandez over here?
Oh, my God. So well dressed. I know I told you this off the air, but I watched the Wimbledon coverage.
Did you see me this weekend in the ATL?
No, absolutely not. ATL. What was going on in Atlanta?
ESPN was
tennis.
There, of course.
I always watch some of Wimbledon on the court, but I don't watch a whole lot of the coverage outside. This year, though, because I had the pleasure of meeting you, I was like, all right, let's see what this guy's up to. What an outfit. All the way through. A tremendous dresser you are. We can get more into that. 10:05.
So you're not too hip about my Nike sweatsuit this morning?
Well, no, this is classic radio right here. It looks good as well, but it's a far cry from what the English were able to receive. Cockroach in Oakland, thanks for calling the program.
Cockroach, bring
your
it.
Thoughts on the Sonny Gray deal. Cockroach, as always, floor's yours, man. Go ahead.
Oh, man, Cockroach a little depressed this morning. First off, shout out to Anna Kakaraglis, my favorite girl that's the greatest mediator I like on y'all team. If she still hasn't figured out a good name to name the kids, she can always use Cockroach.
Or she, will absolutely, work, she will absolutely not go with Cockroach.
She might just get away with Tarzan or something. She'll get it together, but I'll let her hear that girl when she's in the middle of everything.
She's due on Friday, by the way. The second baby's coming Friday.
Oh, watch out now. Okay, okay, we're going to put that name into arbitration, and we'll get back to
that. That's very good.
But I'm the A's is one. You know, I'm always interested in my trio of teams: Warriors, Raiders, A's. And the A's are depressing me to death with another trade of another quality person. And then even worse, I thought the part that about them that scared them about Sonny Gray was that he was sort of injury prone. But we traded him for three more hurt players that possibly can do anything in the following year, next year and a half. So I'm like, the only thing we got left to hang our hats on is Yonder. And probably Chapman. And then, of course, the star is Chris Davis. And if they end up trading him, I might have to put my fandom on the back shelf for the A's, because it's really hard to sit there at a good game. And I've been to about 20 games this year. And you get to looking up at the scoreboard, and it gets really hard. And the boys going to have to do something about that, because we can't just sit around waiting on the excellence of the Warriors to kind of keep us above wire. We depend on the trinity of teams we got here, which is the Warriors, the Raiders, and the A's. So the A's going to have to step their game up in order to compete, because I'm sick of watching baseball just to get a highlight of what's going on with the next team. You know, we need to put the A's in the front of everything. Or we don't. Fisher needs to step his game up and put the A's in front of everything, so we can have a little something to cheer about around here, because it's getting a little dead, getting a little bored. But luckily, we got 95.7 the game with J40 and Double D to hold it down in the morning. So it's always a good thing with you guys, talking to you guys in the morning.
Good stuff, Cockroach. As always, we appreciate the phone call. Have yourself a great day. Will in Marin, thank you for calling the program. Will, the floor is yours.
Hey, thank you, guys. Yeah, it's sad to see Sonny go. It's tough, but I understand that Billy wants to build a team with hopefully a new stadium. But the return kind of seems a little Trent Baalke-ish, because, you know, these names look good. They sound good. They're great prospects. But then again, they're only prospects, and two of them are injured. I mean, I don't really like that. In baseball, you kind of need people to produce now, especially if you want to bring people to the seats. Also, I think it's going to be kind of tough to not be winning before we get a new stadium. I've always thought, you know, don't do what the Niners have done. You know, they got rid of everybody. They're losing. They got a new stadium. All you see is empty red seats. We don't need that. We need to have a stadium that's filled. We need those green stadiums filled. I mean, and hopefully it works out. Also, on another note, no one has had it as bad as Tam High at football. I went 3-37 in my career. So
really?
Don't ever tell me that Tam Rafael.
What about San Rafael? I mean, I think they've had some 0-for seasons.
You say that San Rafael only won one game. They beat us, and they definitely beat Terra Linda. They definitely might have squeaked by Justin Siena, so they definitely were not 1-9, 2-8. They at least won 3. We were horrible.
What years were you at Tam?
I was there from 2003 to 2006.
Yeah.
This is how the story would go. We would go 2-0, then we would lose all of our studs to grades, and then we would literally be marching out defensive tackles and stuff to run the football because we had no one left. It was horrible. I had maybe like 96 tackles to 85 a year with the biggest asterisk, because we were on defense
more than we were on offense. It was miserable. Thanks, guys.
It's like, how do I respond to that? Will always calls in. He's always so positive with most, and then he just ends it like that. Maybe we need to do a high school football spectacular at some point. I mean, the season's right around the corner. Well, seems like people are into
over in Marin, we have one powerhouse that's been. And obviously Marin Catholic, because they can recruit. And they're like, their winning percentage since they've come into the MCAL is they're dominant.
It's a home of Dibs, is it not?
Yeah, it is, and Jared Goff. And really, when you think about it and you take it one step further.
He's from Novato, but obviously, like, went to
Nevada. And that's to the point. He didn't go to Novato High, a school that now is looking at dropping football, at least for the year. I think the future of high school football is going to lie in these, for lack of a better way to describe it, super teams, where kids will be able to go from any other high school in the county, like Marin, and play for the one Marin team. And you might have two teams from the city and two teams from Oakland.
Maybe
it won't be high school football anymore. It'll be more like club football, because so many of these high schools now are going to end up dropping
the program. See, I hated that. I hated that because I played for a really solid program that was a public school in Eastern PA, but there were two Catholic schools, Bethlehem Catholic and Allentown Central Catholic, that could recruit. So they'd be bringing in all the best talent they could from the city schools, Allen and Deeruff, and schools in the neighboring areas. And then just recently, Pennsylvania went back to allowing the Philadelphia Catholic schools into the state championship mix. They used to be their own league. So if you can recruit against guys who can't, it's such an unfair advantage, right, for this entire scenario. That's just, but you're right. That might be where we're going. This thing at Novato, the fact that they've got, what, 1,400 kids in school and they can't field a team, how much of this is going to be CTE related?
You know what? Football in public schools is subsidized by the government. All of a sudden, they see that, like, potentially we could do better with the money for students in other areas, and maybe we don't have enough to field a team. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, let's combine it with another school. So exactly what Dibs is saying, that, like, okay, let's make the money more useful.
Can understand that. I wonder if other regions of the country are having issues like this, or maybe it's something that's starting here in the Bay Area. We got to do some research on that.
Yeah, there's already other schools that are already combining to do football, and some schools are electing to play 8-man or 7-man football.
7-on-7, did you see that? Tom Rinaldi. Yeah, Tom Rinaldi did a piece on this one school. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I saw that very piece.
Let's give away some A's Giants tickets for tonight's game, Game 2 of the Bay Bridge Series. Caller number 10, 888-957-9570. Caller number 10, you're going to win two tickets to tonight's game. Caller number 10, 888-957-9570.
What's the line on the game tonight?
Tonight's game, good thing I always have it right up in front of me.
I know you're a total
D-gen. All right, it's Manaea and Samardzija tonight. For the second night in a row, are the favorite. The A's are the favorite, -125. So lay $125 to win 100. Over under tonight, 8.
Ooh, I would take, what's the tomato can pitching?
I mean, Samardzija has a great strikeout-to-walk ratio, so you got to be careful.
Yeah, what's his ERA, over 5?
You're preaching the argument I've been given for a long time here. You're on my side with this. All these experts, look, you got to go inside the numbers. Samardzija's having a great season.
No.
Oh, really?
He throws the ball over the plate consistently. He doesn't walk anybody. No. He can't miss on the outside. No, I take the over in that game tonight.
You're going over 8.
Especially with it's going to be a hot night in the East Bay. That ball is going to be jumping out of the park. The only problem with the over is that the Giants have to bat 9 times as well. So just keep that in mind. You might be looking at a 7-0 ball game.
That's the grind of betting it over in a Giants game.
No.
Just watching these innings where they come up and they just go belt, Crawford, Nunez, fly out, ground out, strike out, and the whole inning's over in like 3.5 minutes.
Maybe the A's go for 8, but Manaea, like, he'll have 4 or 5 good innings, but he is prone to that, at least for now, that one poor inning.
All right. We're going to break this down a little bit more. What is the latest with Donald Penn, and how does the organization plan on proceeding? Also, BG with a great question. How far into the season do you think it's going to take before Gerrion Conley steps in to the starting defensive rotation? Greg Papa, the voice of the Raiders, joining us next. Joe Dibbs and Brad Gilbert, 95.7 The Game.
No. Yeah.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We're going to give away $1,000 in about half an hour at 8 a.m., and we've got another pair of A's Giants tickets for tonight's game to give away at 8:20. It's Joe Fortenbaugh, Dan Dibley, and Brad Gilbert here on 95.7 The Game. Very happy to welcome in the voice of the Oakland Raiders. You can catch him every day from 12 to 3 on the Greg Papa Show. It's Greg Papa with Joe Dibbs and Brad Gilbert on 95.7 The Game. What's up, Pop? How are you this morning?
You know, I was going to tell you guys, if you're having me on, to get Lo Neal back. Hell no. But I didn't know you had Bradley in studio. I'll make a trade right now.
Good morning, Pop.
I'll give you Lo Neal back to have Brad. How are you, Brad?
Good. When you making the drive up that back way to Napa?
I'm leaving at 9:30 this morning. Be there at 10:30, and they're on the field at 11. And I got to tell you, I think I worked one day this month of July, which is highly unusual. So I watched your Wimbledon coverage from early in the morning, 4 a.m. I was up a lot of mornings because I love the game. And you do a stupendous job. You and McEnroe together are just priceless. Beautiful.
I appreciate that, buddy. And how geared up do you get early in Napa just to figure things out and see where we're moving forward?
No, as far as geared up, no, I'm just trying to download in my brain, Brad, just, you know, how combinations are. You're looking for skill set on players. They really don't do a whole lot the first 2 days of a training camp. I mean, Saturday was like a glorified walkthrough. I'm like, that's all they're going to do? They really were going to about 50%, but I think they're worried about getting the guys back into shoulder pads, thigh pads, hip pads, and cleats, and they don't want to have the soft tissue injuries. But they cranked it up a little bit more yesterday, but I couldn't really see it because we started our show right when they started the hit. They were on the field at 11, but they didn't really get going until around noon when we started our show with Bonte and Lowe, and we're going to have a training camp show for you today. They're going to be off tomorrow, and then we'll do it Thursday and Friday, then one more show next week. So just basically trying to see the new guys, see some of the older guys that I don't know, see movement skills, and then just, you know, how they're going to piece them together because pro football today is so complicated based on down and distance. Personnel groups change, and I think the Raiders are going to have a whole different group in their nickel and their dime packages, obviously from their base package, and then, you know, how they're going to use the tight ends. But I think they got a couple of actually good ones. Clive Walford's moving around much better this year. You got Jared Cook to give that vertical stretch to help Amari and Michael Crabtree. Looking at Marshawn Lynch, he's not doing a whole lot so far. But just, Brad, just trying to see how they're going to piece all the guys together and make a football team.
Pop, what's the sense you get around the team regarding the Donald Penn situation? Do you think something's going to get resolved? And if so, which side's going to blink first here?
Well, I think it's going to be Donald. I mean, Reggie made it clear yesterday, Joe, he's got to be in Napa. I think he's got to show up in Napa. Whether or not he wants to go out and practice, I think he needs to walk into the Napa Valley Marriott and ask what he wants. I think they would be amenable to maybe bumping it up a little bit. I was thinking, you know, he's going to make 5.8 this year in base and 7.15 when you add up all the incentive numbers. If he just guaranteed him the 7.15 and then maybe bumped it a little bit more. But he is an older player. Would you tack on another year for him? He's played well, and he does have a point to be made, I got to say. I mean, usually tackles make more than guards and centers, and left tackles make more than right tackles. And the interior of this line, this is the most expensive interior of an offensive line in the history of the NFL by far, with Kelechi and Rodney and Gabe getting his new deal. So he has a point to be made. I just wish he would have made it in March and April and May and June and not show up in late July, because now it's go time. As Brad knows, we've been waiting a decade and a half for the Raiders to be good, and it's not critical right now, but some of the one-on-ones, you'd like to have him working with Khalil Mack. And also, if this thing drags out a little bit longer and he does not play in the first preseason game, which is a week from Saturday, I don't know if he can play Derek Carr in that game. I mean, would you put him out there with a backup? And Marshall Newhouse is a good player, but he's more of a right tackle than a left tackle. I was actually watching his tape back from 2012, the last time he played left tackle, and he was blocking Aldon Smith in the NFC title game. So, you know, there's a trickle down here whether or not you could even play Derek in a first preseason game. So I think first thing, Joe, Donald's got to show up in Napa and look Reggie and the Raider negotiators in the eye and tell him what he wants, or have his people do it.
Greg Papa working his first day in August, coming off a rigorous July here on 95.7.
It is the first day in August, Dibs. There's no other day to
the
work.
The dog this day is August. Day.
Will you be one and done in August, or are you going to gut it out and make it a two-day
Dibs, month? Even though I didn't work in July, I worked in July. That was the worst month of my life.
I know, Pop. You're always grinding.
My advice to you is enjoy sex, but do not have children. My
Pop, I could have used
right,
this 15
Brad,
months
Brad,
ago.
You know that.
Seriously, Pop. Where were you two decades ago?
I know. It's too late for me. Why didn't I stop at 1, 2, 3? Then we had to have twins. Are you kidding me? A 2-for-1 going out of business sale, I call it. Dr. Snippet, save me!
Papa running material. You give a guy a month off, Joe, and he comes in with absolute bombshells. Gary,
someone get the guy a Netflix special.
Seriously. Greg, Gary Conley, I know he's on the pup list with the shin splints. How soon before he gets on the field and we can start to see what he really can do?
I think Thursday. I talked to him at length on Saturday. He's an engaging young guy. We're trying to pick out a numeral for him. He was wearing number 2. I said, well, Charles Woodson couldn't play in 2. What number are you going to wear? They're not going to allow you to wear that. And then we kind of went through, and he wanted the number in the 20s, obviously. I think he's going to wear Tywan Jones's old number 22. But, Joe, you were with us for the draft coverage, and we kind of got a tip that they would take Gary and Conley if he was there. And it was a tumultuous week for him, draft week, with the rape allegations coming out, I think, that Tuesday of the Thursday before the draft. But the Raiders were confident that, he would be on the field and be able to play and would not miss any time. And he's to me, he's the best cornerback on the team by far. He's better than Sean Smith. He's better than David Amerson, mainly because of his change of direction movement skill that you've got to have. So he doesn't want to be too far behind. And I don't know the nature of the shin splint problem, but it does date back to the last mini camp in June. I think he got it on the first day. So here we are 6 weeks later. So what's the deal with that? And but when he does get up to speed, I think he's got a chance to be a starter on opening day in Nashville on September the 10th, and I think he'll be in the nickel, certainly jumping inside. He's going to be a major component to this defense. Let's face it, that's the area they've got to just be reasonable. They can't get pushed around the way they were last year. I think this offense is really going to be high-powered. When they get Donald in and they go, you got tight ends that can run. Cook and Clive looks better than he did last year. I think the Raiders are going to score in the high 20s this year and maybe even, 31, 32 points per game this year. It's possible.
Pop, I got two areas. Obviously, the first, you're talking about the defensive backs, and that was a huge area of concern. Will we have some sort of a different scheme? Joseph was miserable covering the tight ends. How are they going to fix that area with the new coach on defense? And then, believe it or not, my biggest area of concern, I have only one on offense, is first quarter scoring and more influence of Carr. Because a lot of times our offense got so much better when we were way behind. What about learning to get ahead?
Well, I honestly, Brad, I think that's on Derek. I think for whatever reason, he just did not come out and play well early in games. And usually in the first series, he would throw the ball before receivers were completely in and out of their breaks. And it was just, he's just pressing a little bit. Todd Downing is the new play caller, and he's been Derek's quarterback coach the last couple of years. So he knows what Derek likes, what Derek dislikes, why Derek is overly amped. I think he just gets a little overly excited early in game. So that's a great point. They've got to get off to a better start because you don't want to play from behind. The Raiders won so many games last year in the fourth quarter. You want to play with the lead this year so you can unleash beast mode. I mean, that's the theory, to get up a couple of touchdowns, do it the Bill Cowher way, and then run Bettis and run the clock out. So they've got to get off to a better start. And I think part of that is going to be on Todd Downing to find a proper rhythm for Derek Carr and give him some passes he can look to. And Derek's just got to evolve that way. Now in his fourth year, he's got to settle down and be better. As far as the tight ends, Obi Melifonwu, and say that one slowly. That's my goal, by the way, guys, is to get Lo Neal to say Melifonwu. Has he said that on your show yet?
He said versions of it.
What did he say? Melon.
Oh, we'd have to dive into the archives. Dibs will get on that.
Yeah, he's got his favorite wide receiver, which is
Sanamon, who knew.
Sanamon Hanu. I think he played for Atlanta, Pop.
All right. Obi Melifonwu was the key, Brad, to covering the tight ends. I don't know how much you've seen this guy or even know who the hell he is. He's 6'4", long neck. He looks like, remember Harvey Williams years ago long neck coming out of his number 22 jersey? He's from UConn. I saw him on tape, and we kind of thought the Raiders would look at him in the second round. He is such a huge safety. And the problem with Carl Joseph, and we had him on the show yesterday from Napa, he covers pretty well. He's just small, and he could not play the ball. Now, I think a lot of that was the torn ACL coming back after his last year at West Virginia, and I think he's going to have more explosion to go up and battle for the ball in the air. But Obi is just that kind of guy. They used him at UConn as a deep safety, but they also matched him up in the nickel. He went to the Senior Bowl this year, and he took some nickel corner reps in the slot. So right now, the first day of camp, I love to see it, is that they used him in their dime package when they go to six defensive backs and they have three safeties on the field, and it's Reggie, it's Carl playing the deep, and then you got OB matching up with a tight end. Now, that's a tall task. You know, there's some great tight ends. Travis Kelce is one of the best. I think he's the primary weapon in Kansas City. San Diego's got a couple of them, and Hunter Henry, and obviously old man Gates, and then New England's got, you know, Gronk, and they also brought in Dwayne Allen. So if you want to beat these elite teams that I'm referencing in the AFC, they've got to find a way to slow down the tight end. I think Obi can do it. Jelani Jenkins, also former Miami Dolphin, I think has the skill set to match up, maybe not with tight ends, but maybe with running backs out of the backfield. But you got to cover those smaller guys in space as well.
The voice of your Oakland Raiders, you can catch him noon to 3 with Lorenzo Neal and Bonte Hill in Napa today. It's Greg Papa with Joe Dibbs and Brad Gilbert on 95.7 The Game. Love you, Pop. Great to have you back. Thanks for the hit.
Go get a good feed in Napa. A lot of good choices up there.
Yeah, I know. And I'm actually going to stay. I've been rushing back to do the happy hour on TV, but I get to stay and do the happy hour up there. So, Brad, when are you coming up to training camp? We'd love to have you.
I'd like to maybe venture up from Marin. It's not a bad, you know, nice little ride. If you have me up there, I'll go take a look.
Shoot me a text, and we'll give you the royal treatment.
Thanks, Pop.
Take care, guys.
Not like I wanted to be invited.
I got to go through it last year, Brad. It's the Greg Papa experience. Starts at camp, and it spills over into the surrounding towns.
When does happy hour? Something tells me he can go a little bit.
Yeah, he gets after just a touch, just a smidge.
But he's not drinking no Bud Ice. Something tells me he's going a little vino, like, think he's got a little scotch in his game.
I think there's a lot of versatility there. I think he can penetrate the A-gap, but I think you can put him on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of gun run,
yeah.
A lot of ISO sets, a lot of 2x1 formations.
A lot of true eye, some three technique, some wide nines.
He can pound it between the tackles. He can shoot it. He can blow the top off the secondary.
So maybe he's going to do the happy hour show on happy hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's just like, that's just the warm-up. That thing should be called the pregame, is what that should really be called. All right, Raider Nation, we're going to open it up to you, 888-957-9570. You heard from Pop. You got the update. Donald Penn, which side are you on? Should the Raiders pay him, or should they make him show up?
He actually brought up a good point about, like,
I got to throw it to commercial, but I want to get to that point next. Exactly whatever that point is. Joe Dibbs and Brad Gilbert, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Joe, Lowe, and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
$1,000 to give away at 8 a.m. Giants A's tickets to tonight's game to give away at 8:20. It's Joe, it's Dibbs, it's Brad Gilbert, 95.7 The Game. John Morosi on a little post-MLB trade deadline talk coming up at 8:05. Scott Baer from Napa at 8:30. Randy Wynn at 9:05. And Bobby Evans on the future of the Giants at 9:30. We're going to open it up to you, 888-957-9570, Raider Nation. What do you want the organization to do in regards to Donald Penn? Two options. Pay him, make him happy, get him into camp, or hold out like he is. Tell him he's got to show up, that he's already under contract, and that the $5.8 million he signed for, that's all he's going to get. It's a dicey situation. Greg Papa was on in the last segment, Dibs, and he made an excellent point. Do you even play Derek Carr in the preseason if Donald Penn's not there to watch his backside?
I don't, and that is a great point, one I wish I would have thought of to bring to him, but you talk all year about, what do you have to do this season? You have to stay healthy. Obviously, you want to make the playoffs, but to get in the playoffs with Derek Carr is mandatory. You can't have him injured. So if Donald Penn's not in there and you've got a preseason game, the last thing you want is for somebody to come after him and light up Derek Carr and not have your number one protector on the backside. So if Donald Penn is out, if he's holding out, then I would also hold out Derek Carr, absolutely.
Reggie McKenzie spoke yesterday in Napa regarding the Donald Penn situation. Here's what he had to say.
Well, he's not in camp, so I kind of take it to not talk about guys that's not in camp. Okay. You know, Donald's my guy. Love him to death. You know, since he stepped right in, we lost Valdir. You know, I told him he's my guy, and that's not going to change. But I would love to have him. If you guys can go down in L.A. and drive them up, I appreciate it. But we're just going to focus on these young guys that's practicing now and get those guys some reps. And we're going to just keep moving. We got to practice. I want him in camp. He has a deal. We don't talk contract until unless the guy's here. So we're waiting.
It's a fascinating situation because, what was it, a month ago, Derek Carr signed the most lucrative contract, Brad, in NFL history. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, but part of the way the deal was structured, it was important to him that the Raiders would have money to take care of other players. This is a player that takes care of him by protecting his backside. He wants more money. Derek just signed for more money. I know DC's not going to come out and say anything, nor should he, but a fascinating dynamic based on everything that's taken place with this organization in the last few months.
Yeah, absolutely a dicey situation. But unfortunately, for management, if you make an exception here, what does that do to three or four other guys that could possibly be in the same situation? So you don't want to alienate the player, but you have to be able to navigate this situation to where it makes sense that all of a sudden everybody else ain't putting up their hand.
Breaking news from Josina Anderson at ESPN reporting that Seahawks safety Cam Chancellor has agreed to a 3-year, $36 million contract extension with $25 million in guaranteed money. Is that accurate? That would be 70% of his contract is guaranteed. That would be 70% of the $36 million is guaranteed.
Well, in baseball and basketball, 100% is guaranteed. That's another thing football players need to get in their next collective bargaining, that their contract is guaranteed. But you know what the upset alert is on that? How did Adam Scheffler not break that?
That's a great question.
That's true.
Schefter's probably busy with a bigger story. He's got an even bigger story. 888-957-9570. What should the Raiders do with Donald Penn? Other news out of camp, Gary and Conley, the grand jury convened in Ohio and issued a no bill. All you really need to know is they're not moving forward on charges. From a criminal standpoint, Gary and Conley's free to play football. From a civil standpoint, we'll see if his accuser challenges him in civil court. We'll also see when he can get on the field from a health perspective as he's battling shin splints, although the organization expects him out there in a few days. Dibs, this is great news for Raider fans.
Absolutely, especially as you start to head into padded practices and the first preseason game. You want to get an idea exactly what the player has to offer so you can start to think about whether or not he's going to be a starter or not. And they've got practice today, no session tomorrow, and then back at it on Thursday. Greg Papa indicated that Gary and Conley had told him that Thursday's the day he's targeting. So today, you don't have him out there. Everybody's off tomorrow. And then you hope come Thursday, he's a full go and you can put this unfortunate incident behind him forever.
Brad, you floated this. Go ahead.
How about that Papa said unquestionably he was the best player in the defensive backfield? Considering we've signed some free agent that struggle, that's a big statement. So I do think that hopefully if this guy is healthy, I think it would be huge if he could be a starter in game one.
Do you think he would have the opportunity? Do you think he's going to be able to close the gap that quickly? Sean Smith's making so much money, I don't think he can lose his job.
How did he play last year and Emerson play?
Shaky. There's no question about it. Shaky. That's why they went with Conley.
So considering money in football isn't guaranteed, I think if this guy can play, I think if the Raiders are going to take a step forward, I actually think that he has to be in the starting lineup because of from what I saw last year, I'm not sure those guys are all of a sudden going to start playing a lot better. They both played, especially Smith, for the money they played him. He didn't step up.
I'd have him play the slot in week one for two reasons. Number one, you're on the road against Tennessee. That's a good football team, and they've got some receivers down there. I would rather ease him into the water, and then if you really think he's a starter, come back home in week two against a really lousy Jets team and let him start at home at the Coliseum against a bad offense that can't throw the ball and build up his confidence there. That's the way I would go about it. Just ease him into the water. I don't think you need to throw him to the Wolves unless Emerson or Smith show you so little over the next few weeks you're forced into the decision. But at some point, are we all in agreement he will be starting at corner this season?
I think if he's healthy, and let's say by Thursday he's in there and 2 weeks later he's playing, I think he's going to be a starter in game one. I'm just going by based upon what I saw last year. I'm not even guaranteed that both those guys, Smith and Emerson, are back. They make it through training camp. Wouldn't be surprised if one of them was a casualty.
And you would figure Smith would be that casualty with the bigger salary and a guy who hasn't really performed well since he's been here. I think Gary Conley will be in the starting lineup, and I like your timeline, Joe, of having him come in and do it at home. You take on that Tennessee Titans team, you're going to need all hands on deck to try to win that ball game. Maybe you bring him in as the slot or the nickel guy, and then at home you give him the full start.
After every NFL draft, I give the same speech, and I'm not the only one doing this. This isn't a novel concept, but it's always so foolish to read all of these articles that tell you who got an A, who got a B, who failed. None of the guys have played. You can break down how they're going to fit.
What do you need, 2 years?
They say three. They say if you're going to grade a draft class, go back after 3 years and see how everything panned out. I would say this, though. For everyone who wrote an article following the first round of this past draft, a lot of people questioned the Raiders. What are they doing? Why would they take this risk? Go back to draft night and tell the other 31 teams, Gary and Conley will be cleared of all wrongdoing on July 31st. There is no way he's on the board when the Raiders hit the clock.
If this was never even an issue, where was he going? Was he going top 10?
Top half of the draft, first 16, no question.
So I'm saying there was no allegation, nothing. He was just...
If he faced nothing, he's probably top 16.
Okay, so they got him, you know, it's not like, okay, he was a top five pick. So they got him, you know, good value.
That, along with O.J. Howard, the tight end who slipped to Tampa Bay, those were probably two of the best value picks. Now, I know Niner fans with Reuben Foster.
That's a guy I want to see the Raiders take.
That could be a massive steal. That could be a massive steal with him falling to 31. But again, Bama linebackers and running backs struggle at the next level. Why? The linebackers play behind elite defensive lines. Keeps them clean. They're free to run all over the field and make tackles without getting blocked.
Rolando
running
McClain?
Backs. Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
Ouch.
Running backs at Alabama struggle. Why? They play behind the best offensive line in college football, and they have wide open lanes, wide open holes. They just run through everything.
Hell, Trent Richardson looked good in college.
He looked great. So did T.J. Yeldon. So did Derrick Henry. So did Mark Ingram. They all look great. Ingram won a Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, they have like three guys in the first. They have great offensive line and defensive line. And it
makes everyone look better.
Exposure to the NFL linebackers and running backs for Alabama.
Wild stuff. Well, at least of the... Oh, you know what? Reggie in Philadelphia. We got you on the line. Oh. Reggie in Philadelphia. We're going to throw it over. Go ahead.
What's going on, guys? I hope everybody's having a good summer.
We're having a great summer. How's your summer going?
It's going too quick, that's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's August 1st. You got to be kidding me with this. What do you got?
I honestly believe that the Raiders should stand pat, and I'm going to tell you why. Let's pretend for a second that Donald never held out. He came to camp, never complained about his contract. He goes out there week one against Tennessee and ruptures his Achilles, and he's going for the season. Yeah, it would be a blow, but nobody would be writing off our Super Bowl chances because we lost Donald Penn. If he got injured, you would just adjust. You would scheme around it. You put the next guy in. You try to coach him up, and you'd adjust. Outside of Derek Carr and maybe Khalil Mack, losing no one man will kill our Super Bowl or AFC championship hopes. So I think you treat this as such. Now, of course, the injury is different because in this case, it's preventable by signing them to a contract and getting them in. But the basic in-game concept is the same. If you lose a guy, you're going to have to scheme around him. You're going to have to adjust, next man up. I don't think you cave in because, again, as you guys brought out, you set that precedent. What happens if Rodney Hudson, who was at one time the top paid center in the league, now he's not even top 10. What if he comes and says, I'm not the top 10 paid center. Like, you're just opening up Pandora's box. It's a new era in Oakland Raiders football, not just on the field, but in the front office. With respect to the late, great Al Davis, remember they were calling it the Al Davis Scholarship Fund because he was just giving money away. You got to button up. You have to run your front office tighter. If you want to be an elite organization with sustained success, you have to follow the template of other elite organizations with sustained success. This would never fly in New England. This would never fly in Pittsburgh. If Donald can't, if they hold firm, maybe Donald comes into camp, and then maybe you might throw him a bone. But he signed his contract just last year. I think you hold firm.
Great point, Reggie. Great points. That's how Pittsburgh's done business for years. They take care of players on the back end. They may be aging, like Troy Polamalu when he got his last deal, but if you follow the Pittsburgh way of doing business, the organization will take care of you.
The hoodie wouldn't budge on this.
No, not at all. He would probably, he might,
he'd
might
probably
cut him.
Cut him.
He might cut
thinking,
him, to be honest with you.
Remember last year, the guy that he shipped to Cleveland, right in the middle of the season.
Oh, why am I blanking
yeah,
on that?
Yeah, he's like
the
a 25-year...
Jamie Collins.
Yep.
Collins.
Really? Yeah, he was like, you know what? Go to Cleveland.
Ooh.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.